let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this December thanks to Creative Communities. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Now tonight we have a fabulous lineup of guests chatting books, music and theatre. But first, to kick off the show, it's the 1st of December. Therefore, Emma has to give me permission to play a Christmas song. She's giving me an evil look as the countdown begins. And given all the hype around Wicked at the moment, I thought we should bookend the show, start and finish, with two Christmas songs by the past and present Wicked stars. So first up is Idina Menzel with We Need a Little Christmas.
Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. Cause we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinning. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry, so climb down the chimney, turn on the brightest string of lights I've ever seen, slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung some tinsel. But Santa dear, we're in a hurry, so climb down the chimney, turn on the brightest string of lights I've ever seen, slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung.
We need a little Christmas, Idina Menzel. And Emma, you and I are Christmased out today because this is our third Kick Arts show of the day.
I know.
Because we've been busy pre-recording for our Christmas and New Year show.
Have you just given everything away?
Oh, well, I think they might work it out. But yeah, it's been a big day. We've been talking to lots of fabulous people, so we've got some good episodes coming up.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And it's really nice for Stephen and I to be able to have 2 weeks where we don't have to come in on a Sunday.
The only two.
Well, not for me. You've missed one.
No, but
one
you've had
this
something
year.
Else on, yeah.
Yeah, so I've missed one because I keep deciding to go away.
Now, but Adina there makes a great appearance in the Wicked movie, if you haven't seen it. She has her little cameo, well, more than a cameo, it's a decent song.
Are you giving spoilers away?
Sorry. Well, you know. I think the two people in the studio with us haven't been. Yeah, but they haven't seen it on stage, so we'll be okay. I'm just going to stop talking. So how was your week?
Do you know what? I've had the busiest theatre weekend.
Yes.
You wouldn't think it was the end
of the year. But seen the same thing twice.
Yeah, but Friday night I went to the final dress rehearsal of Children's Music Theatre Studios Newsies Junior in Howick. And then yesterday I had some kids singing at the Buckland Hall Family Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And then I went to see the final dress rehearsal of Rising Star Productions' Wrapped Cabaret, which 11 amazingly talented young pre-professionals. And then last night, NYT's Alice. And then I went back to Alice this morning because they're triple cast and some of my students were in both casts. So,
Good.
And then been with you all day. So it's been a theatrical 3 days.
Yeah, it has. All right. Well, from theatre to books, we are delighted to welcome back our first guests of the night, Nikki Perry and Kirsty Roby. Nearly said it wrong. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And you know what, Emma? These have to be award-winning guests because they brought in a beautiful gift basket of goodies.
And how appropriate. It's the 1st of December, which we didn't say earlier. You know, first day of December, and we've got a Christmas basket.
First Christmas basket.
No pressure, future.
Well, I can't quite reach it because otherwise you hear crunchy and munchy sounds and our audiences don't like that. Anyway, two fabulous authors.
But included in the basket, I think we should say now that there is a copy of the book that we're about to discuss, and if you'd like to go in the draw for that, all you need to do is make sure you're following Kick Arts on one of our social media platforms. Tell us what song, Christmas song, is your favourite, and you'll go in the draw for one of two books.
Plus, we might play your song between now and Christmas.
Yeah.
So, welcome back. Merry and Bright is your latest book. I'm trying to think when we last had you on. It was, we'd only just moved into the studio here, so it was a little about a year and a half ago. Would that be right?
That sounds about right.
Come right and close to those mics. Yeah.
Yes, that sounds about right. I think we might have only had two books then.
Right, and how many now?
This is number 6.
Ooh, you have been busy.
We have.
And do you always write together?
We don't write together, we plot together, but we always write separately.
Okay, how do you make that work then? How does that sort of, do you have specific chapters that you write, or do you write the same and tweak and edit? Tell us your secrets.
I love it. They're expecting each other to answer. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what they told us last time.
Either that or we can't divulge our secrets.
Ooh, ooh.
We write on a Google Doc, so we can share that. And we don't necessarily write a chapter each. We do, but we go in and edit each other's work. Yeah. So by the end, sometimes we don't even know who's written what.
That's cool. And you've always had that style together?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we think very similarly. We've got, you know, share a brain.
So before we unpack your current book, take us back to when you first started writing. How's your journey sort of evolved in the writing space?
Well, it started in lockdown because we spend a lot of time doing things together. And then, of course, Nikki's in Tauranga, I'm up in West Auckland, and we couldn't see each other. So we thought, what can we do instead of just sitting around talking all day on the phone or making sourdough mixes and banana bread? And so we thought, oh, let's just give it a go. Let's write this book. And we loved the process so much that we wrote one straight away, another one. And then we just thought, right, well, let's take this a bit seriously. Let's do some courses. Let's actually set a goal of at least 10 books. So we're getting
there. You're getting towards your goal. How did you find the courses? Did they sort of help refine what you were doing? Or did you sort of go to those courses and then go, oh, man, we've got this completely wrong? Or
no, I think in some ways we learnt new things, but we also found out that we were doing some things just instinctively, we were doing them how we should have been doing it. But we learnt a lot of new things, and we're still going to courses. We're still always learning, you know, to improve and to get better, I hope.
So what kind of, when you say you go to courses,
We do a lot of conferences with the Romance Writers of New Zealand, so they have one every year, and in Australia, we go to the Australian one as well, and they do like 3 days of workshops, basically, so we'll do a lot of workshops for that, and we've done online courses with the Writers College, various other just short courses online.
The online ones are quite good because you can do them in your own time too, so...
Yeah. And you self-publish?
Yes, we do.
Talk us through that.
Well, that's been a big learning process.
Yeah, I wonder if that's almost more than the writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's not as much fun as the writing.
Why self-publish?
Because we're impatient and and old, and we thought, you know, there's a very limited amount of time to wait, that we can wait around, and it can take years if we go traditional. You have to get an agent, you have to find a publisher, and also the creative control, because we knew that if we did it with traditional, we would not get to choose the covers. We might have to adapt the books. They might say, we don't want that character, we want you to take this out, put this in. And we decided we didn't really like that idea. So we thought, let's just do it ourselves and see what happens.
And because you have done it yourself, that's probably why you've actually managed to have so many books out in such a short amount
of
time.
Yes, absolutely.
What's been the biggest learning curve through self-publishing?
Oh, I think to not expect them in bookstores, because there's a lot of bookstores. Whitcalls, for example, won't take indie books.
Really?
Not at all, won't even look at them.
Wow.
But also that we thought that was the goal, was to see them in bookstores. And then we've talked to traditional authors who have said, yes, we get them in the bookstore, but they're in there for a month and they're gone.
Yeah.
And so it's not really the goal.
Have you ever just thought about walking past a Whitcalls? They're really busy, and just, you know, out the front, quickly pop a few in the
pop
front.
Pop a few into the shelf.
Yeah, and they'll barcode it and go, what? Where did this come from?
Somebody hasn't put this into the system yet. We'd better get it in there.
But we do have one, Henderson Paper Plus, got to give them a plug.
Oh, nice.
Andrew let us do a couple of launches there with our books, and this one as well. And he even let us clear the front window and put all our books in there, so he's wonderful.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Really cool.
Good old West Auckland.
Yeah. What about, how have you found, again, with self-publishing, I suppose, the marketing side of things, because that's a huge learning curve as well, just how much time you actually need to spend talking yourself up, right?
Yeah, which is not a Kiwi thing to do.
No.
So it's hard. It's really hard.
And neither of us were very active on social media ourselves beforehand, so it has been really hard to put ourselves out there and take photos and say, look, here we are, we're doing this.
I think, too, there's a lot of Instagram with lots of pretty people and perfect lives, and we just decided we would go against that and take photos of us looking terrible and eating and doing stupid things, because it's more relatable for us than trying to make ourselves look glamorous.
But it's about you being you. You know, people fall in love with books, but they also fall in love with the authors, and they like to know the author's journey. And, you know, that's part of being who you are. Yeah,
and just to know that you're relatable and that you can come from a background of not, you know, not publishing, being able to write a book and publish it yourself, it is possible. You know, you can do that. You don't have to go the traditional track.
I was going to say it's about also being seen as real.
Yeah, authentic.
Yes. Yeah.
And so if being dicks on Instagram's what you want to do, you know, and that's the thing, it's about your brand, you know, like the fact that you're two sisters is huge as well, you know, that's a brand thing.
Yes, and we've been told we're loud and we're embarrassing and that we're more comedic than we are romantic, so that's kind of where the books lie.
Love it.
And that's just our children.
So does the comedy come through in the book?
I hope so. We found this one in particular hilariously fun to write, because that's the great thing when you're writing with two of you. You get to read the other person, so you're reading the book, and we've laughed so much at each other's chapters and sentences. And
do you ever read and do a big, bold delete, not funny, to each other?
Yeah, all the time. I just delete stuff that she writes and hope she doesn't notice. No, we don't really. We do have a policy that if one of us doesn't really understand where the other person's going with something, we'll say, well, explain that to me, and if you can't, then that's out, because if we can't understand it, the reader's not going to get it either. So. Mm. But it doesn't happen very often.
When you look back at the five before this one, is your market very much in New Zealand, or are you starting to get it picked up overseas, or is there a certain part in New Zealand that you're going, wow, our books are really popular in
Our first book, How to Marry Harry, is very popular in America. Very popular, mainly because it's about Harry Styles and he's got a lot of followers over there. But we've become more and more Kiwi, I think, in our writing style. So we're hoping that that appeals, because that's the feedback we're getting, is that they're loving the Kiwiness of the books.
Mm.
So I guess we've sort of got more of a following probably in the South Island, I would say. Would you agree, Nick?
Definitely.
But that's interesting, because for podcasts, our biggest, you know, both this show and a show I do here on a Monday, our biggest listenership is South Island. The downloads are all South Island, which is interesting. So maybe there's a bit more spare time for podcasts and books. And,
yeah. Oh, we love the South Island.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us about Mary and Bright. What's this one all about? I love the byline, single all the way.
I was going to say, I think the byline gives it away.
Yeah.
As does the little synopsis on the back.
Mary works in a retirement village. She's the activities coordinator, and Bright is one of the co-owners. He's not usually involved in the village, but he has to step in, so he's going to be there for a while. So it's a romance between them. Mary loves Christmas. She's a real, happy, cheerful, bouncy, bubbly Christmas fan, and Bright does not. He just hates Christmas.
He's the Grinch of the book.
Right, right.
And she is determined in this book to change his mind. So the book came about because of our father, who got Alzheimer's. And so he and Mum moved into this gated community. And Alzheimer's is a very unfunny subject to write about. But we really hoped that as he went downhill, there'd be some really funny moments. So we were, you know, clinging to the fact that there'd be some good jokes. And there weren't many. But one day, Nikki was around there with Dad, and Mum had gone out, and the postman turned up. You know how they have their little red truck? And he came up the driveway, and he looked around, and he said to Nikki, "Oh, look, Santa's here." And it just sparked this idea of these old people in this home being a little bit confused about Santa and Christmas. And so the comedy comes from the older people in the home.
Love it.
It does sound like a rivalry going on, and as there is in those kind of places.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got that Hallmark Christmas film feel.
It could be a script. Absolutely. Do you always sort of write from personal experiences like that, where you or personal characters that sort of spark it off?
Not always. Sometimes it's something weird, like we'll read something in a newspaper clipping and it sparks an idea, or we just have imagine if you did that, and then our conversations go down weird rabbit holes, and then we'll go, that would be quite a good story for a
book. Do you have like a shared document that's just ideas, potential ideas? Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Kirsty sets up the document, and I read it and add things. She's a document.
I'm the organiser.
So give us the timeline. When did you first start writing this, to when did it come out? It's only just come out, is that right?
We went away to the UK last December, and we loved it over there because there was a lot happening with Christmas. You know, there's the Christmas lights, and we noticed there were a lot of Christmas books in the shops over there. And when we came back, we were still kind of in the Christmas spirit for Christmas here, but there were no books that were set down under that we could see. So that's kind of what gave us the idea to do it.
Yes. Okay. We thought, well, why don't we do a Christmas book? And it's not really our normal type of book, but it would be quite fun, and let's just give it a go, see what happens with it.
And it was fun, so, yeah.
How much of the editing, et cetera, do you do yourselves? I mean, when you're self-publishing, do you still bring in other people? Like, I guess I'm curious how many people read this before it went to print?
We edit each other's. Nikki does more editing than me. She's usually editing me. I'm terrible. And then we give it to some trusted readers to have a little look through, and then we send it to a professional editor who just whips our butts with it. Comes back with all the little red marks.
Yeah, do you get annoyed? They're like, oh, I missed that one.
Every time you think, oh, we've done a really good job this time, she's not going to find much.
Yeah.
And every time you go, okay.
Yeah, although it's amazing where you put commas these days.
Or something you swear you knew how to spell, and you're like, is it really spelled like that?
But the thing with commas is really interesting, isn't it? Because I publish a magazine, and I had it proofread by two new proofreaders a few weeks back, and one of them was the stickler for the comma before the end, and one of them was like, you don't put commas before ends anymore. So it's really interesting because it is old school rules. Mm. It's kind of like in the olden days when we used to learn touch type, and it was the date and then three returns and then dear and then two returns. And
But we use grammar.
Two gaps, but after the
full stop.
Yes. Mm. I think I still do that. We use Grammarly at work, and that puts the comma in after those ands. Yeah, it's quite interesting. So maybe it depends if your editor's American or English following.
Maybe.
So what's next? Have we started the next one? Are we well underway for book number 7?
We are, yes.
In stereo. So are you allowed to give us a hint?
Well, we went down to Stewart Island for a little trip, and the next book is based on an island very similar to Stewart Island.
Ooh, and is it the theme? Is it mystery, romance?
It's a rom-com with a little bit of mystery. It's based on the idea that two people that do not know each other end up inheriting a very run-down hotel on a little island.
Oh, I like that.
And they don't like each other.
Okay.
Are there kind of staple default storylines that romances have or things that you would expect to find in a romance?
There's like people that read a lot of romance love the trope. So this Miriam Bright is very grumpy sunshine, we'd call it. And then there's the, you know, friends to lovers and the second chance romance and things. People like to know when they get a book what that trope is. So you do tend to try and either write to that, which we don't do, or decide what it is afterwards and market it like that and say this is the theme.
One thing with romance is it has to have a happy ending. Otherwise it can't be called a romance. So it has to be either
very realistic.
either happily ever after or happy for now. So it doesn't mean
there you go. That's
realistic. Forever.
That's quite realistic. Yeah. Happy for now.
Yeah. But you can't have somebody dying off in the last page and the other person's heartbroken.
Sounds like an American film. You know, you sort of get to some and you're like, oh, okay, this what? And then that last 10 minutes where everything just suddenly becomes
falls into place.
Those
are French films, aren't they? That they do that. Everybody dies and it's raining and
Do you think our Kiwi, you mentioned Kiwi rom-com, does it translate across the ocean to other countries okay?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's becoming more popular, I think.
Yeah, okay.
People like New Zealand.
Well, I guess we're well known for good TV series, we put out good movies, so we've got that basis already, maybe?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got some great writers of script and books and TV.
Ever want to turn any of your books into
Did a script writing course yesterday with Michael Bennett and it was fabulous. I'm full of ideas
watch out that list is getting bigger. I hear it's quite hard just to get that whole process of someone even just getting it read and then up the chain.
Very hard
I think probably you need to be in the know with people
Or do one of those, there's some of those competition type things where you can kind of do a first.
Yes,
Or team up with one of the filmmaking competitions where you get someone who wants to make film but doesn't have the script, you supply the script.
Yeah, and then a collaboration, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Just to get your name out there. Yeah. Will it always be rom-com, do you think, or have we got some evil thriller horrors in you yet?
We might change a bit.
When we've done the 10, we might go into some sort of more mystery or darker.
Quite a few authors, self-published authors that come on here, have a series. So they'll have the stock standard characters that you then track through a journey. Now, they might do 3 or 4 books in that series and then create a whole new story or style. Is that something that interests you?
Not really, because I think we're both a little bit too sort of ADHD about that. We sort of move on, leave them behind.
You want to finish them off at the end of the book.
You want a new character. I'm sick of them. Yeah.
Well, I suppose if it's ended with a happy ending,
you don't want to go back.
Well, how are you going to go back? Unless it's the friend in the book and you now go down that
The side characters. Or you do the Bridget Jones Diary where she's one of them's killed off and she has to go back to the old guy, apparently.
Always is time for a sequel. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short music break, and then as it's now December, we can start asking our guests our Christmas kick arts questions. Stand by. LC, Kiwi artist, has released new music this week. It's called Thorn in Me.
Melancholy temperament's got me dancing in a maze. And someone says a joke, but I didn't catch it, 'cause I'm so far away. I am but a vine who's forgotten where she's growing from, and you're a chess man lost in the garden. In the garden, lost in the garden, in the garden. Recognize me. Zoning out, someone spills their drink, and my thoughts, they are right off the brink. This moody garden, it envelopes me, and I've lost my connection to the ground. Misty moonlight breaks my heart just right, and you keep drifting far away. In the garden, in the garden, lost in the garden, in the garden. Toes, but I'm falling on my back. You know me, I see the good with the bad, but I just can't understand why you call me back. And that's the thorn in me that only wants to see. Disaster has beauty. Guess that.
Thorn and me, Elsie. When did we have her on the show? You know, it was a little while ago.
It was a while ago, and I was actually going to say her music has developed so much.
It has. Yeah, interesting. We had a bit of that lately. They
really
all
good.
Grow up. All right, as Christmas is approaching and, you know, your theme of the book certainly has some Christmas links, what does Christmas look like for you two?
Normally we spend Christmas together. This year we won't be. So, that'll be a...
scandal.
Yeah.
Do you know this? Is she just telling you now?
By the way, I'm not coming for Christmas.
We had a big one last year, so we decided we'd have a quiet one this year.
Nice. But just with your own houses.
Yeah.
But we do have a couple of little Christmas traditions, one of which made it into the book, where Christmas Eve, when our kids were little, we started this, that the kids will plant either a peppermint or a jelly bean in the garden on Christmas Eve. And it only works on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And when Santa's sleigh comes over, a little bit of magic falls off and lands on them. And in the morning you'll get candy canes, or you'll get the little plastic just like you get at the warehouse, ironically, little jars full of jelly beans.
and they
grow in the garden and the kids get to go out and eat them for breakfast.
Oh, I love that.
That sounds so cool. And I want... Steve and I talked earlier today about how interesting or hard it is being parents of grown-up children and how all that kind of fun, exciting, you know, it's me getting up on Christmas morning, sitting there going, if I make lots of noise in the kitchen, it might wake them up and they might get up and we might be able to open presents, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no magic.
No. I've got to wait for grandchildren now.
Yeah, yeah. We used to go full on. Like, for me, Santa always caused chaos. So, in our house, and I would prep it weeks earlier. So, for example, I'd make my daughters come out and we'd, like, plant prize broccolis that were going in the Blockhouse Bay broccoli competition. Because there is one. And I'd build up every week. Oh, I've got to come out, Katie. I've got to go and water the garden before bed. So I built it up. And then Santa's sleigh would land and kill the broccolis. And so in the morning, Katie would come out and you'd just hear the snigger. And she'd be like coming down the corridor. Dad, guess what? And so each time. But then we actually learnt, my wife and I, that we could kill off things we no longer need, but maybe the kids didn't want to get rid of. Like the old broken swing set that they believe they still want. So the sleigh one year, it destroyed it. So many bits it couldn't be put back together.
You know what that is? It's all the beer that people leave out.
Exactly. Chaotic. I think keep it alive. I love the idea of candy canes popping up in the garden. I hadn't thought of that one. That's cool.
Feel free to use that.
Yep. Any other family traditions?
Oh, we've done the reindeer poo and what else? I always make the traditional
Christmas pudding. That's my job every year.
With a coin in it?
I have done the coins, but no longer do
health
the coins.
Health and safety.
The tinfoil's no good. So I do that every year. I hate Christmas pudding, but I'd make it anyway because it's my husband's great-grandmother's family recipe, and I was stupid enough to make it the first year I was dating him, and now it's been my job for 30 years. So
just got to find somebody to pass it on to.
Yeah, I need to pass it on at some stage. But yes, I'm still making the Christmas pudding.
Oh, that's cute. Do you do any food special things, Emma?
Oh, well, my husband and I, every year, and we've been together 26 years now, we always have a cooked breakfast. So we have ham and eggs on Christmas morning. But that's more because when we were younger, we used to start drinking at 11. So we'd have Christmas breakfast so that we were all well and good to start drinking because family Christmas goes through till about 8 o'clock at night.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. And so many families these days, you know, have to zip between multiple places. You've got the in-laws, or if your family's split, then you can sometimes have two or three. Yep. It becomes such a mammoth eating, travelling, driving day.
Mm. Yeah. I'm very lucky because my sister-in-law lives across the driveway from me.
Ooh.
So this year it's at her house. So I just get to go across with the Christmas pudding and stumble home when I feel like it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Brilliant. Does Talpo turn it on for Christmas?
I wouldn't know. I've never been there at Christmas time.
Oh, is this the first time?
No, I'm not going to Talpo. I'm in Tauranga.
Where do you live?
I'm in Tauranga.
Close.
It's quite a drive to Talpo.
Steve and Della.
Yeah, just for
I'm
Christmas.
I'm sure she's
yeah.
in Talpo.
No.
I just love it how she smiled there.
Well, it would be a bit of a hike for Christmas. But I'm actually going down to Wellington to spend Christmas with my youngest daughter this year. So it's just going to be the two of us. So that's going to be really different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that'll be nice.
That's cool.
None of the drama.
And then one year we've decided we're going to do a midwinter Christmas and we're going to go somewhere where it actually snows, like Queenstown.
Ooh.
And do it and have the ugly
Christmas
sweater.
I thought you were
going to
say, like, London.
Yeah.
I wish.
Sounds like they've done that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the ugly Christmas sweater competition and, you know, the eggnog and the
mulled wine.
All of it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All the things that you wish you could do, but it's too hot to do here in December.
So back to your books now. If you had somebody sitting at this table that was thinking of writing their first book and perhaps self-publishing or not, what would be some of the best tips and tricks and advice you could give them?
I would always say take a class. Take a writing class because you can never learn enough on your craft. So take a class and then be really brave and write something and let somebody else read it, which is hard. It's really hard to be brave and put yourself out there. But, yeah, do it with someone you think you can trust.
Okay, cool. Next top tip?
Preferably not a family member. Yeah. just write it. If you really want to write something, just write it. And then have another look at it later. Put it away for a bit and see whether you still like it.
Nice.
But you definitely do courses and do as many as you can. And there's plenty of free courses online too. You know, you don't have to shell out a fortune for that part of it.
Is there a magic sort of size, number of pages that you should write to? Like, I look at this size book and I go, yep, that's something I would be enjoying. I'm not a great fan of the mammoth ones because I know I'm going to get bored halfway through. This is perfect.
War of the Worlds, no way.
No, yeah. Lord Tolkien. Of the Rings, out of the way. This is perfect size for Stephen. Thank you.
We do tend to write short. So okay. Our books are probably shorter than what they... If we were going traditional, they'd probably tell us to add another 30,000 words and bulk them out.
Really? Okay.
But we get a bit sick of those overly descriptive books that go on and on and on, and you know, the middle of it just seems to drag and you never get to the point. So we do them the length we like them.
I don't know, maybe with social media these days too, we've all got shorter attention spans.
And they're good for in your handbag for a holiday.
Yeah.
I was just going to say too, like, it depends whether... See, I'm someone, I do kind of like... I don't read as much now as I used to, but when I used to read, I quite liked being able to read it over a few nights. But the amount of my friends that say, "Hi, oh, yeah, I'm on to my second book today," and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I could not sit and read a whole book.
No.
In one sitting. Mind you, I could sit and binge a whole series of Netflix. I did that a lot this year.
Yes, likewise.
You threw me. I had such a good question too.
Must have been a lie.
Yeah.
Was it a Christmas question? Was it a book question? Should we quiz you on what kind of question it was?
Book question. Oh, damn.
We'll play 20 questions and get the question.
It will come back to me.
I bet it was about the cover. Was it about the cover?
No, but it is a good cover.
Who created the cover?
We have a lovely lady who does our covers, Annie, who's in Hamilton, and she says she finds it fascinating when we say, we've got a new book and we want this on the cover. And she's like, oh, my God. Because there's usually something a bit strange on them, like
a dead cockatoo.
The fact that you've got a pukeko in a ponga tree that's actually a fir tree?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on the back, we've got the false teeth and the pavlova, so there's always something a little bit odd on the cover that she sort of says, how on the earth am I going to make that?
But isn't that because you're in an old folks' home and they've obviously lost their teeth?
Yes.
Right. See, I get it.
Perfect. I remember my question. Who are you reading? What authors do you like that sort of inspire you in your writing?
I'm reading a New Zealand author at the moment. I'm reading a couple of books, actually, simultaneously, which I used to do a lot, but I haven't. One is Fiona Sussman, The Doctor's Wife.
And we've interviewed her before.
And I'm also reading a book by Pat Blackley, which is called Daisy.
I have been reading some biography type books and some non-fiction books at the moment, and I'm reading at the moment Gemma Stiles, Harry Stiles' sister's book, which is very interesting.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Yes, but it's all about having ADHD as a woman, and it's quite fascinating.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of us out there.
Yes. I don't think I have, possibly Nikki does.
Yeah, well, according to my latest research down ADHD tunnel, is that if you hear voices in your head, it probably means, and you speak to yourself in your head, it means you've got some kind of ADHD. If it's silent in your head, you haven't.
What if you hear voices in your head but you speak out loud back to them, not in your head?
That's a different thing altogether.
I've got that one. All right, Nikki and Kirsty, how can we track down your books, follow you, all of that sort of thing?
When you see a pink van driving around, chase it like an ice cream van because van it has publishing. Books in it.
So our Instagram is, we're called Write Doozy, if you want to follow us on there. We do a lot of giveaways on there too. We've just started selling direct from our own website too for New Zealanders. So we are www.nikkiperryandkirstyroby.com.
And you can also find us on Amazon as well.
Awesome.
Or Henderson Paperplate.
Yeah, Henderson, shout out to Henderson. And if you are a bookshop somewhere in the country and would like to feature these fabulous authors in your shop, get in touch. You can always email us at info@kickarts.org.nz and we'll fire you all their details.
And don't forget to post on our social media if you want to win one of the two copies that they've brought in for us to give away.
Amazing. So lovely to have you back in the studio again. Thank you for our gift basket of goodies. Go well with the book. We want to keep hearing them as they come out. We'll keep catching up, and we want to be part of your celebrations when number 10 comes out. Fantastic. What are you going to do to celebrate number 10?
We'll have a big party.
Big party, all the books?
All the books.
People could dress up as characters from your books.
Oh, they could too.
Yes. That would be cool.
I like that.
Yeah,
yes.
And then that'll make them at least buy some to read them if they haven't read them yet.
Particularly if anyone comes as Harry Styles, I'll be more than pleased with that.
I could send Harry an invitation. He can turn up himself.
Awesome. Go well. Thanks so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having us.
After the music break, we're going to catch up with the music artist, L.A. Mitchell. Here is one of their latest tracks. It's called Slow Dancing.
Coming in close. Here's a voice I don't remember. Giving me the words. Like a yell. Flying through a forest. Scattering the birds. Sirens quiver in the air. Triggers an echo. I stay quiet to hear it. Clicking out a code. Here I come, honey. Dancing. While my world is
Dancing, L.A. Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Hello. So nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. And where are you beaming in from tonight?
I am beaming in from Addington in Ōtautahi.
Fantastic. Now, you're no stranger to the music scene, but take us back. When did it all first kick off for you? What sort of first sparked your love for music and singing?
Yeah, it's such a funny question now because, when you walk along a path for a long time, you're so far removed from what originally sparked it. And you go through cycles of that spark having momentum, and then you go through cycles where that spark isn't the thing that's creating the momentum anymore. But I suppose when it first started was when I was little, my mum used to sing, and she used to make us kids sing along to her with her playing the piano, and we used to do shows. My brother and my sister and I would be singing harmonies with my mum playing piano. I don't know if that sparked the desire to be a musician, But it's certainly one of my earliest memories. And I had somewhat of an epiphany when I was 17 about the desire to do music. But it hasn't sustained me the whole time. And then there's been other moments of recognising the goodness of what music does for people, for the lives of people. And sometimes that's been a further spark. Yeah.
That's cool. And do you prefer to write your own music?
I don't have a preference either way. Actually, I work a lot with my husband in an indie folk act called Terrible Stones, and so we co-write a lot together. And I did some projects co-writing a couple of EPs with different people. So I do really enjoy writing together, and certainly writing with my husband has been a great professional challenge. but for this set of new material that I'm bringing out, these were like deep songs that I really felt like I needed to work out myself. Yeah, there's something I needed to figure out in the process. So I did them I wrote most of these songs myself, yeah.
And when you're writing your songs, tell us a little bit about your process. What comes first? Is it the words, or is it the music, or is it a bit of both?
Yeah, and it's not in clear cut terms either, you know, like you might, I think I go in off a whim. Sometimes something comes out of that exploration, right? You're just sort of curious and maybe plonking around, or maybe you hear something or... certainly there's one occasion my girls had these like glass beads, and well, they look like glass beads, but they swell up when you put them with water. And so we had a whole stack of these glass jars of varying heights full of these different coloured beads, and they ran a chopstick over the jars, and they made this real plink plonk kind of sound. So I kind of caught that as a memo, and you know. So there's some things like that that kind of spark your energy. But when the writing the lyric, I think I try and pull into something that I can recognise, oh, there's a story happening here. And then I try and figure out in as much detail and as much specificity as I can, what is it that I'm trying to say? What is the story? What is the nucleus of the feeling that I'm going back to or that I'm sitting in? And that's a repeated exposure, so I keep kind of dipping in. But I was at a certain point, I had to really just push some time aside and sit down because I would go in and I'd change all the lyrics and then I'd leave it and then I'd come back in a couple of weeks and rewrite the song. And so, yeah, I was at a certain point where I had to just stick at the parts that I wanted and make them all make sense. So it's a bit of both. Sometimes I might be excited about a word or a set of words, or I might have a particular idea, a moment. It's usually a 3-second fleeting feeling that you're trying to capture and put into a 3-minute song. Yeah.
Now, you're no stranger to working with other fabulous Kiwi artists, having been involved writing, touring and recording with legends such as Dave Dobbin, Bic Runga, Tim Thin, Anna Coddington, just to name a few. How has that helped shape your own music journey?
Such a cool experience when you learn other people's songs. I think that's the biggest part. I think all through Fly My Pretties, you were constantly learning other people's songs. And I'm often there as a session musician, you know, I'm there as a player and a backing vocalist. So I always appreciated using the skill set and to be able to create an experience out of other people's material. And, you know, recently we did the Bill Withers Social Club with Troy Kingy and Dallas Tomita, and that was also just going really deep into someone else's material. And everyone that you realise has a signature as a writer. Yeah, there's certain things they go back to, certain usage of words and certain chord shapes or certain ways of using chords. So that's quite beautiful. I think I learned so much from Dave and Beck when I'm learning their songs for these shows. Yeah, it's really cool.
It is cool. Now, you've just released a track called Mother. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so in that writing process, I knew I was wanting to tell a particular story. I think I always recognised that some things about motherhood felt particularly difficult to balance. So that And I probably grew up with a sense of productivity as being really important. And so it really shook me and to become a mum and feel like the measurement of productivity, you know, it's such a slow game with kids. This is like what you're feeding into them in those first 3 years is a slow game for the rest of their lives. And it's so it doesn't kind of match up on productivity scales or mindsets that we might have for a normal work environment, even though it's very much work, you know. And so it sort of blew my identity and it blew me out of the water. So it felt like I wanted to talk to that, because I could see, even as my kids got a bit older, they're 10 and 7 now, like that if I was working, I'd get really focused in the zone with work, and they might interrupt that focus to ask a really reasonable question, and I would probably respond or had responded in a really unreasonable way. And I wanted to speak to that, and I wanted to speak to what they were observing of me and what my behaviour was and what my reaction was and why did I have to go away and why was I working. And I think trying to reckon with that, and part of the story, I think, as it unfolded in the writing room, was that I really lament it. I feel like this is a feeling I've had conversations with other mums, other musician mums, especially a lot of amazing women who are raising children and also still working in creative fields. And that experience that the job itself takes you away from your family, and so it's really hard to have both of those things. And maybe we're just walking out of that mess of have it all parent, you know, have it all motherhood, into like, I don't actually think I want to have it all if the cost. It's such a high cost trying to have it all. So there's a lament in the song. I was trying to articulate that. And, I tend to make women weep in concert as a result.
Well, shall we have a listen? Are you okay to stay on the line while we take a listen to Mother?
Love to.
Cool. Here we go. that's beautiful. I don't know about just mothers weeping. You might have a few dads and stepdads weeping in the audience too.
Yeah, it does. It hits us all as parents. It's such a compromise.
Yeah. So you've just completed a fair number of solo performances around the country. Yeah. And am I right? You're about to perform in Auckland on the 7th of December at Pitt Street.
You are right, yeah. I've been taking taking these vocal workshops called Revive Your Voice for Women, just to connect with women who used to sing or love to sing and maybe don't do it anymore, maybe got told to, like, be quiet. And so I've been travelling around doing a couple of these workshops during the day and then playing a solo show at night. I've loved it. It's been really, really fun. So I'm coming to Auckland, Pitt Street Methodist. I'm in the parlour, just a little room. To meet some women and who want to spend some time getting some knowledge and experience singing together just for pleasure, just for joy. And then, I have a beautiful set of songs, just myself and the piano. Quite a few covers, like, I recognise, I've been really influenced by a particular era of music around the sort of 70s, so around 1970s, because I used to listen to a lot of Solid Gold FM growing up, not out of my own choice, but it's just what it was. So it sort of stuck with me. There's a lot of classic songwriting in that era of. So there's a few covers in there of that era and songs that I love from people that I've toured with and travelled with. Yeah, so that's what people can expect. It's been really beautiful.
That's awesome. And what does 2025 look like? Have you got plans for more music, more tours? What's on the diary so far?
Yeah, I try and keep a balance because I do value being a mum and being present with my kids. But I've got a whole body of work I've sort of released. Mother is the third single, and I have a record that's sort of waiting to come out. So I'm going to just keep releasing singles and keep working that side of it, and then hopefully the album will come out sometime later in the year. It would be great to tour it again if it feels viable. Yeah, but that would be the plan, yeah, on top of life, you know.
Fantastic. How can people follow you, track down your music? Where's the best place to head?
Yeah, I think if they want tickets and they want information about the workshops or the show, they can go to my website, which is www.lamitchell.nz. And if they want to find me, I am LA Mitchell on Instagram and Facebook. And if they want to listen to music, they should go to their favourite streaming service or YouTube, and you can find me there.
Nice. Now we're going to close out your interview with your track Glove as we bring in our next guest, who's here to talk about a very special Christmas quiz at the basement. I'll leave it at that for now. What was Glove all about?
Oh, yeah. So Glove was, I think I fell out of love with music, and I actually pulled out of it for about 10 years writing my own material. So coming back into it, it was a bit of a reckoning about whether this thing that I love or that I feel is that fits me in a period of time where I felt like it didn't fit so well. Yeah, probably that kind of conversation. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, we'll close your interview with that. Thanks so much for joining us on a Sunday evening.
Yeah. Have a great evening.
You too, and have a fabulous Christmas time with your kids ahead.
Awesome. Kaki te.
I have been holding a weight. I'll carry it between my teeth. It sets my jaw askew. Talking is no remedy. This disturbance in my bones never settles, always runs off on its own. It is what you were born to do. Don't fight the feeling. It is why God made you. Your second skin. Fits you like a glove.
is what you were born to do. Don't fight the feeling. It is why God made you. It is your second skin.
L.A. Mitchell, awesome interview, great music. Go and support our wonderful Kiwi artists.
Now, coming up at the Basement Theatre at the end of this week, it is next weekend, isn't it? Yes, the 6th and the 7th, yes. We've got this thing called What a Quizmas Is This? And to tell us all about it is the hostess with the mostess. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Yes. We were saying last time you were on the show, it was for a quiz as well, but it wasn't the Quizmas one. It was one of your other ones.
Yes. I'm trying to remember when that was. Was it earlier this year?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yes, that was my birthday quiz, which was basically, every time I do a new quiz, I try and sort of like theme it. And that one was being like, what's a great excuse to like eat cake and make people play silly games? And I was like, it's my birthday. So I did a birthday thing run. And this one, of course, Quizmas, because Quizmas.
Because you can.
Yeah. 'Tis the season.
I love it. So tell us, our listeners, what are they in for?
Sure. So it's like a pub quiz, except instead of asking questions, I sing medleys of songs and you've got to tell me what the song is and who it's by. And I do that all live with an incredible musician, Brian Jeffries, who I used to call my pianist, but they actually this time will be playing the piano, acoustic guitar, electric guitar, and they've made this like DJ track for a round that I've titled Club Bangers, which is going to be quite a fun time. So there'll be a medley of club bangers, and you'll have to tell me what the songs are called and who they're by.
So it's not necessarily a specific genre of music. It's lots of different genres.
Yes. So each round is a different genre. For this one is pretty loose. So I've got a club bangers round, but I've also got a round that I've titled Sad Drunk Aunt, because I figured that was a Christmas staple.
Oh, yeah.
There's always one, isn't there? Last year that was me. I had a little kind of cry on Christmas, so I couldn't do that round earlier in the year because it wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. So that one, you know, it's sort of cramming a few different styles into there, but if you can, you know, it's sort of like a flavour as opposed to a genre.
So tell us about the process of coming up with something like this. Like, have you chosen all the songs, or how much has Bray, for example, had input into, you should do this song?
Sure. It's usually me and Bray sort of like working together. I've had other pianists in the past, beautiful Kaylin Thomas in Christchurch. We used to sort of work when I first started doing it, we'd work together sort of being like, okay, what do you think about this genre of music, and sort of come up with them together. This will be the first one that I've done with Bray that hasn't been entirely existing rounds that I have done in Christchurch. And so we sort of talk about it together, and there might be some suggestions here and there, but usually I'll sort of pick the songs I want to do. Pick the sections I want to do, make sure that I can, what key I need them in, because sometimes you need to go up or go down because they might be written for a male voice or something like that. And then I sort of send Ray a list and they work their magic and link it all together and make it sound cool in between and make sure I know how to get from one bit to the next, because sometimes it can be a bit difficult to jump between two different songs if they don't flow well together. So they are fantastic at making that sound pretty.
Now I have to ask this question. Is there anything from Wicked in it?
There isn't, unfortunately. I did used to do a musical theatre
round. Well, it's been lovely having you here tonight.
You haven't. It's a music, because I'm a musical theatre kid. Mm. So when I first started doing them, I was sort of doing them for my musical theatre kid friends. And then I did one for the Buskers Festival, and I kept a musical theatre round in there. And it just alienated too many people. It was before, you know, Wicked became a thing and stuff. So I was like, oh, damn it, okay, I can't do musicals. That's fine. So maybe one day it will come back.
But have you seen the movie?
I actually haven't. I know, which is surprising.
Why is she still here? Why are we continuing with this interview?
The main thing is, I just want to put it out there that I think all of my non-musical theatre friends assumed that I would go with my musical theatre friends, and my musical theatre friends went like the day that it came out, and I just haven't had the time. So sort of sitting here like, if anybody listening wants to go see Wicked with me, I'm keen. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
I've heard incredible things. I've seen a lot.
And I kind of went thinking, am I going to be disappointed because all I've heard is good? And, you know, sometimes people can oversell something. Mm-hmm. But no, it's everything people say.
Good.
Yeah. Now, we noticed a friend of Kick Arts, Jason Park, is involved with this show as well.
Yes, I love Jason. Jason and I went to drama school together, so I've roped him in as my head marker.
He's so busy on social media. Every day something pops up in my feed promoting something that he's doing. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's a wonderful, wonderful little Energizer bunny, beautiful unicorn human, and I'm just so, so happy to have him back. So he is responsible for keeping the scores.
Does he take bribes?
He does. We all take bribes.
Oh.
So we all, for anybody listening who's coming or anyone who would like to come, we do all take bribes. That our favourite is drinks from the bar. At a certain point of the night, we might request snacks from the bar. Mm-hmm. But we do take bribes. Fully serious, not a joke. 100% real. We take bribes.
Now, is it like a pub quiz where audiences are in teams having to quickly fill out the sheets in a short space of time, or are they screaming things out at you, or what?
So they're sitting in teams, so max team size of 6 people, and they have a sheet that they need to fill out that will then get taken to Jason to do the counting. And then there are also a couple of other sort of side games, I like to call them, that you can also do but to get more prizes, one of which is the duck pick. So I've got a giant inflatable duck, and you've got to take a team photo with the duck and send me your hashtag duck pick.
Now the duck's on the
makes
poster.
Sense.
Makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yes, yeah. There you go. Yes. And the best duck pick wins an extra prize, which this quiz is sponsored by the Basement Theatre. So you can either win yourself, depending on what night you come, a $50 bar tab for the Basement Theatre, or a 6-ticket pass to other shows in the basement.
So holy shit, that would be amazing.
Some
That's
cool prizes.
Wow, like 6 tickets to shows at the basement.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you've got good diction for the duck.
That's the pun, you see. It's silly, but I think it's funny. Send me a duck pic.
So much fun. We should have organised you in advance to have a backing track and you could have tested.
Well, I was
going
to say, you know, you're used to a cappella. Surely you could test us.
No, I don't know. I don't know. You'll just have to come to the show. But I promise you, I'm fabulous.
And are we expecting your 80s perm?
Yes, it is a wig. A lot of people look at that photo and then don't recognise me in person, but it is actually a wig, and it's a wonderful
wig. Do people think that's real?
Yeah, people think that's my real hair. And I know. I'm like, oh, I wish I had that much volume, but no, it's a wig. And she's my old tried and true, bought her from Brixton in London many, many moons ago.
You can tell her well, a woman.
Oh, wow. It's obviously getting towards the end of the night. Stephen's
Can I remind people this is our third show of the day?
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a music break, and after the music break, we will fire our quiz questions at you, our tough Kick-Arts questions at you. But first, let's take a music break, and award-winning artist Ajar has this week released her timeless, unravelling and hypnotic bilingual debut album. I'm gone. And it's called Kawai. Here it is. Enjoy.
ka wai to tika mai ki aha ue ka wai to tika e ka wai to tika mai ki aha ue ka wai to tika e ka wai to tika mai ki aha ue ka wai to tika e ka wai to tika mai ki aha ko ta
fabulous music, and we're going to keep playing some of that album over the next few weeks. Great track. All right, it's time now for our kick-ass questions for our quizmaster, kind of around the wrong way in the room. But first of all, and it won't be Wicked, I suspect, the answer to this question. If a producer could walk in here right now and offer you a dream role in any show, movie, anything you like, what would it be?
Such a lame, nerdy musical theatre answer.
But
I'd want to do something Sondheim. So I'd want to do either Into the Woods or like a Sweeney Todd. I'm too young for Mrs. Lovett just yet, I think. But so you know, something in there.
Ooh, you know,
so who would you be in Into the Woods?
I think at this age, Baker's wife. Yeah.
You always know someone has some musical theatre talent though when they say Sondheim. Don't they? Like, because people know that's always one of the harder musicals to learn.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give you that. Well done. Okay. If you were given funding, so the sky's the limit now, and you could create your next show, whether it's another quiz show or something different, what would you theme it around if you had a bit of budget to do something?
Honestly, I think I would want to take my quiz on tour. I love my quiz so much. I continue to do it even though it's you know, costs me many, many hours and I don't make very much at all, if anything, from it. But I have such a fun time doing it, and it's so silly, and I can kind of do anything with it. So if I think it's stupid and funny, it's probably going in a quiz.
But you've got to be a certain person too, because you have to, every single time you do it, it's going to be different, right, depending on who's in the room.
Yes, so I will never do the same quiz in the same city more than once, I think, is the vibe. The eventual dream as well is like cruise ships and things like that, so sort of creating this package that can be tourable and shuffleable, I guess.
Yeah, because if you had multiple ones in one of those cruises, you know, you can come back every night for something slightly different.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you only need three or four for a four-day cruise.
Exactly.
Yeah, P&O if you're listening. is there a topic that you haven't dared to do yet in your quizzes that you'd love to do?
Ooh,
Or a theme or a genre.
Sure. I did actually do a sort of a Zoom version of this during the second lockdown for my mates, which included a round of pop music sung by Drunk Julie Andrews or Drunk Mary Poppins. That was, I'd probably like to do that again, but I did also, I tested out with, you know, my very delightful and kind mates what it was like to do a rap round, which, oh, it did not go well. I'm not that good at that, but I really wish I was, because I just feel like it'd be really impressive. Mm. You know, like anyone who can rap, either writes their own or can memorize it really well, it's always just so impressive. So, yeah.
Who's inspired you over the years when it comes to the arts?
Hard question. I think there are people that I look to, you know, your celebrities, the Meryl Streeps, those who seem to have sustained a really long and intricate and mixed type of career. I think those types of people are really wonderful. But honestly, these days, a lot of it are my mates who are still doing it, who are still going out there, who are still auditioning, who are still creating, who are still producing, even if that is, you know, a slight deviation from what I first met them doing. Mm. Jason Parker, for example, who I did musical theatre with and is now, you know, glowing into this gorgeous pop star. My mates are the ones I think that I really look to for inspiration as well.
So when you're receiving your first Tony Award and before the music plays out, who are you thinking?
I'm thanking my family for sure for coming to some of my god-awful productions at drama school, having to sit through some Brecht. Thank you very much, everyone. The drama teachers, my vocal coach, Charlotte West, my brother for making me laugh, Darlene Moheki, who I think is actually a really massive inspiration, and one of the reasons that I think I learnt not only resilience but also to just create and be silly and playful. I think that's probably all the people, probably. My partner at the time and my kids. Got any? I don't know.
If not, just say it and watch your family go, oh, who?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my two children. I don't see them much.
Yeah. If you're watching, kids, this is what Mum looks like.
I love it. Now, some quick fire quiz questions.
Oh, God.
What is the name of your show?
What the Quizmas is This.
And where is it?
It's at the Basement Theatre in Auckland.
On?
The 6th and 7th of December.
And what time are we, the audience, rocking on in?
So the show, well, the quiz starts at 7 p.m, but doors are going to be open from 6:30. It's pretty relaxed. We're floating around. The doors never close so that you can get to the bar nice and easy to buy us bribes.
Fabulous. And where do people get tickets?
So you can either head to the Basement Theatre website. If you search Quizmas with two S's, because I made a typing error and then the marketing went out.
I thought that was deliberate.
I mean, it's totally deliberate.
Yeah.
It is deliberately spelt with two S's.
I thought it was because you were going to mass.
Sure. Yep. I'm going to use that from now on. Absolutely. That is why. That's 100% why I did it.
Right, cool.
So remember the Basement website or iTicket as well.
Is there a Christmas, what do you call it?
Genre
at some point in the show?
There will be a Quizmas round, yes.
Oh.
That was kind of a free round, you know. You should be able to name every single Quizmas song that I do. Artist, I'm not going to expect you to know who was the original artist of a few of those songs. Cause
surely if you just say Mariah Carey, you're going to be right, because hasn't she literally covered every Christmas song there is? Or Bublé?
I am kicking myself. I didn't actually put any Bublé in there. I know. But he's
still time.
He's too busy earning money. It's fine.
And is there an age restriction on your Quizmas?
I would say probably no younger than 18, unless you're a particularly spicy 16 and you're okay with a few swear words and a few silly bits. adult silly bits.
And most important question of all, what's your favourite drink for the bribes?
Favourite drink for the bribes, because I'm a singer, so I have to think about my voice. It's like a gin and soda type situation. You know, it's quite hydrating, doesn't dry you out as much as a wine. Or something like a Pals is quite good too.
Okay, brilliant. I love it. All the very best. Hope it's a fantastic season. Stay in touch. We'd love to hear what you're up to next, wherever that might be in the country.
Beautiful.
Or on a cruise ship.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bahamas.
Hang around, because there's a wicked star singing a song at the end of the show, just to educate you. But we'll look forward to your review of Wicked when you get there. Yeah.
Cheers.
I reckon it'll be on longer than most movies.
Yeah, I think it will keep going for a while, too.
Yeah. Now, the theatre list has just sent through their list, and Camping is still running at the Q Theatre. They've done a great long season.
They have, and there's this thing on the in it that says that what the Christmas is this is on the list as well.
Yeah, it is. It's in there. So, you know, you're marketing, you've done it, you're on the theatre list. Well done. Now, Campaign is the one that stars Chris Parker, Tom Sainsbury, Kira Forrester and Brianlee Stent, and it's on until the 8th of December. Head to silotheatre.co.nz for details there. Spiderella and the Pantomime Villain Academy is on at Theatre Works in Birkenhead. Head to trybooking.com for all their details.
It sounds like a mash-up of, like, The Lightning Thief and and Spider-Man and, yeah.
Well, it might be. You'll have to go along.
Yeah.
Now, the fabulous Auckland Pun Battle Championships is back. Be ready to groan. Come and see the city's smartest pun slingers. They emailed us about their show as well, so really appreciate that. That is on Friday the 13th of December at Q Theatre. Head to qtheatre.co.nz for all of that. And Naughty, a Christmas drag extravaganza is taking place Tuesday the 17th to Saturday the 22nd of December at Basement Theatre. Head to their website for the details. It is a holly jolly ordeal that promises to be a not-so-silent night out. Expect outrageous costumes and outlandish gags. And we're already starting to gear up with people getting tickets for Shakespeare in the Park, which kicks off in the new year from the 18th of January by our fabulous friends at Shoreside Theatre. You can find out all the details on that at pumphouse.co.nz. And, of course, head to our website, kickarts.org.nz, that's our email address, to find out what else we have coming up. And then
you mean our
while.
Website address, not our email address. Yeah. Our email address is info@kickarts.org.nz. Stephen's feeling very tired, but yes, do jump onto our website to see what's coming up.
What have you got coming up this week?
I'm trying to have a quieter week, but I may be trying to get a quiz team together. So, Kickarts listeners, if you'd like to join a quiz team, maybe we could have a Quizmas Kickarts team, and we could go and kick some arts.
Absolutely. Get in touch. Now, don't forget on our social media today, the books that we're giving away. I'd love our fabulous authors to see you all entering
the
competition.
We've already got an entry from Hayley Va'a.
Brilliant, Hayley. Keep them coming. Let's give those books away and have the great stocking stuffer too. Even if you're not a reader, win the book, pop it in.
Nothing like stuffing your stocking.
Absolutely, especially with the Christmas book. I think we'll call it quits at that point.
Are you going to play us out with something? What are you playing?
It is time to end with Ariana Grande from Wicked. Okay, just important for you to note that.
Who? Sorry?
Ariana Grande.
I've never heard of her.
She's quite a cool artist. She's bloody brilliant and Wicked. Well, here's her Christmas song, and it's Last Christmas. Have a great week, and make sure you
kick some ass.
And we're all off to bed.
And I remember, I wish I could forget what you did last December. To save me from tears, I'll give it to you.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some ass.